listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message. Hi. So when I was 5 and I was at my first day of school, and I know I've told this story before, but my very first day of school, our school principal came and he gave us a sermon. And I remember that he said, "This is the most important lesson you'll ever learn." And then he poked out his tongue and he said, and quoted the scripture, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I have never forgotten that, because that was a really, really important lesson and a very important ongoing lesson for me personally. And God clearly spoke through him into my life at that point a word of scripture, a word of knowledge that that was going to be something important. And so I'm talking about speaking life, okay? I'm talking about speaking life. And I think we can all probably, you know, remember a time when someone has spoken something hopeful and something good and something positive and something, you know, life-giving into our lives, but we can probably also remember a time when someone has spoken the opposite. And so when I'm talking about speaking life, like, I'm really talking about speaking Jesus. That's actually what I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about the, you know, speaking positive things or just nice things or affirmations. I'm talking about speaking life, speaking Jesus. And so when I'm talking about the opposite of that, and I'm saying speaking death, I'm not really talking about death, okay? I'm not talking about speaking someone dying over you, okay? Life and death. Death is the opposite of life. So when I'm talking about speaking death or speaking words of death, I'm talking about words that don't have any life to them. They're lifeless, okay? And sometimes they can be really destructive, and sometimes they can be really damaging, okay? So all through scripture, we see the contrast, don't we? We see the opposite. We have good, we have evil, we have life, we have death, and we have truth, and we have life. So that's what I'm talking about. So don't overthink when I use words of death. I'm not talking about speaking like actual death over people. So before we get into what it means to speak life, okay, speak life into ourselves, speak life into our situations and into our friends and into our family and into others, we actually need to talk a little bit about truth. Okay, because in order for us to know what sort of words are life-giving or what words, you know, constitute speaking life, we actually need to know what is true. So if we want to know what is true, we actually have to think about lies for a minute, okay? So the interesting thing about lies are that they don't actually have any power unless we believe them to be true. So if someone tells you a lie and you know that it's a lie, then you just go, "Oh, that's a lie," you know, and that sort of just goes straight over your head. You go, "That's a lie. Like, I get it, it's a lie." The problem with the lies is that they have power when we believe them to be true. So we have to get really, really good at identifying what is a lie and what is the truth. And so the only way that we can actually figure out what lies are is actually to know what the truth is. You got it? So we need to immerse ourselves in the truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if we want to know what the truth is, then we need to seek Jesus, okay? We need to seek Jesus, because that's where we find what is true, okay? And as we seek Jesus, and as we seek Jesus in our relationship with him, then we start to get to know him more and more, okay? We start to get to know what is true and what is right and what is good and all of those things, and we get better and better at discerning what is a lie and what is a deception, okay? So speaking life, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life," okay? So we look to Jesus, we look to his word, and we look to the Holy Spirit that he has given us, that gives us that spirit of discernment, because that is the source of life and the source of truth. So when we think about truth and we think about lies, okay, we actually have to recognize that we're not that smart, okay? Because we all think that we're too smart to fall for a lie, don't we? Like, we all think we're too clever. Okay, we all think, "Oh, well, I would never fall for that." But we forget that we have a very real enemy. And when we go back to the Garden of Eden, when you think about Adam and Eve, they were literally the most intelligent human beings ever created, because they were perfect. Okay, they were intellectually sophisticated. They were the first people that God ever created. Okay, in perfection. And yet, they fell into temptation and they sinned. Okay, and the way that the enemy actually got them to sin was he got them to question what they believed to be true. Okay, and that's the same trick. Okay, the enemy is still the same. Okay, the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's still the same today. And he still uses the same sneaky little tricks to get us to not be able to discern the difference between a lie and a truth. Okay, that's how he works. He's deceptive. But the good news is that as we seek the way and the truth and the life through Jesus, we get better and better at discerning the lies and the deception. So the scripture says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of the world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Okay, so we do have to realize and recognize that there is an opposition to everything that is good. Okay, we do have a very real enemy that we need to consider. And so anyway, a few months ago, I was praying for someone, okay? And I got woken up in the middle of the night with this sense that I needed to pray, and I was really annoyed, okay? So there's no romantic image of, you know, very spiritual person waking up and full of the joy of the Lord. Like, if God wakes me up to pray, which he actually doesn't do that often, it's not romantic. Because you remember people saying that from the pulpit, right? And you go, oh, you know, the Lord wakes me up in the middle of the night to pray. Well, it's not romantic, and it's actually like I'm always super cranky whenever that happens. I usually start off very, very begrudgingly. And then I'm cranky the next day because I'm like, God, you woke me up and now I can't do this. You know, I'm tired. So anyway, I'm woken up and I feel that I need to pray for this particular person for this particular struggle. And as I'm praying, I turn and I see this spirit standing next to me, okay? And I knew that this spirit was evil, okay? I knew that it was evil. But when I looked at it, it actually was beautiful. Like, it was gorgeous. It was stunning. It actually looked like an angel. And I knew that it was evil. I knew that there was something wrong. But it looked beautiful. It was stunningly beautiful. And then I realized, oh, I get it. I get it. Like, this is the spirit of deception, okay? This is the spirit of deception. And the person that I was praying for that was struggling, that the source of all this was actually that they'd believed a lie, that there was a spirit of deception behind this struggle because this person had believed a lie, and that was how I needed to pray. So God was just telling me how I needed to pray in that moment, okay? We don't need to see things like that generally. It's not very nice. But, you know, that was how I needed to pray, that there was that spirit of deception because someone had believed a lie. And then as I reflected on that experience that I'd had, I thought, hang on, that's like all of sin is that we've believed a lie, or we haven't believed the truth, or we've kind of believed these half-truths, and that sometimes we actually need to confront the lie. Sometimes we actually need to acknowledge that there's a spirit of deception and there's a lie here. And that's the source of what's happening in this particular struggle. So God revealed that to me at that time. And we don't have to focus on the lies. I think that's probably important to make that point, that, you know, we don't go looking around for all the lies like, you know, we're detectives. But, you know, we focus on the truth. That's what we need to do. We focus on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and we keep our eyes fixed on him, okay, because he is the source of truth and life. But one random thought that I had, that's not random actually, is that if a lie only has power if we believe it to be true, then does truth have power if we don't believe it to be true? Do I need to say that again? So if a lie only has power if we believe it to be true, so does truth have power if we don't believe it to be true? Does that make more sense? I think I just said the exact same thing twice. So as I was thinking about that, and it does kind of relate to what I'm talking about, is that if we don't believe the truth to be true, then maybe it has no power in our lives. And I was thinking, well, what's an example of that? Well, I guess as I'm speaking about this, I'm speaking to Christians, I'm speaking to us, I'm speaking to the church. So if we only think that God, our Father God, loves us, okay, we only think it, or we've heard it. We've heard that God loves us, but we've never actually accepted his love to be true, then maybe we don't experience his love in our lives. It doesn't mean that his love for us doesn't exist, because it does always. But if we've never accepted it to be true, then does it have any power in our lives? You know, and it's the same with other things. You know, when we think like, oh, I know, oh, I think the Holy Spirit speaks to people today. I think the Holy Spirit speaks to individuals today. and wants to speak to me, possibly. But I don't know if I believe that to be true, because maybe God only wants to speak to certain people. And if we don't believe that that's true, that the Holy Spirit actually speaks to us today, then it's very unlikely we're going to hear his voice. Not because he's not speaking, but we've never believed that to be true. We've never accepted that. So we've never believed it to be true. And then the last one I thought of was, you know, does God move powerfully in churches through miracles and signs and wonders and the prophetic today? You know, sometimes we think that he does, but we don't actually believe that to be true. And maybe that's because we think it all looks a bit fake and a little bit whatever. But if we don't believe it to be true, then we're never going to experience those things in our church, because we're not going to seek them. You know, and we have to address those things that maybe are not truths in our lives, that are actually lies, and find out what is true, because we want to accept the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We want to accept the truth, and the truth comes from him. And so this is all very important, because if we don't know what the truth is, it's very hard to speak life. It's very hard to speak life into others, very hard to speak life into our circumstances. You know, we really need to know what is true. So what does it mean to speak life? Well, the Bible talks a lot about words and speaking life. Like, even if we go back to Genesis, okay, God actually spoke the world into being. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So from the very, very beginning, we know that there's power in the words that we speak out. Or more importantly, there's power in the words that God speaks out. Okay, there's power in the things that come out of our mouth, the things that we speak. And we see it all through Scripture. If you want to read Scriptures about words and mouths and things, then go to Proverbs. That's a good one. So when we're talking about speaking words of life, it's above and beyond saying nice things to people. Your hair looks nice, your jacket's nice, and they're all important things that we say. But speaking Jesus, speaking his word, you know, speaking his will, speaking his love, speaking his hope into ourselves, into situations, into our circumstances, and into the others around us. And it's important, like I said before, that those words of life actually flow out of a personal relationship with Jesus. So if we want to know what these words of life are all about and how to do that and all of that, then we come back to that relationship with Jesus. You know, we start developing that relationship with Jesus. See, nothing is overly complicated. You know, we seek God more, we seek Jesus more, and as we seek him more, we get to know him more. And as we allow his life and his spirit to work within us, we'll find that the words we speak actually start to sound a little bit more like Jesus. So I wanted to quickly talk about three things. So I wanted to talk about speaking life into ourselves, speaking life into our situations or our circumstances, and speaking life into others. So three different things. Now, speaking life to ourselves is really interesting, because how many of us have really terrible self-deprecating internal dialogue? You know, and I'm not even talking, I mean, some of us may have some really dramatic stuff going on in there, but I'm talking about stuff like, oh, I'm so stupid. I can't do it. Oh, I'm not good enough. Like, oh, I'll never be able to do this. Oh, I'm never going to be able to change. I'm always going to be struggling with this. You know, how many of us have those kind of things that just kind of go around in our heads? Usually not things we say out loud sometimes. But, you know, that internal dialogue where we're just constantly speaking words of death over ourselves. You know, and you know what they are? They're lies. They're actual lies. And there's power in those lies if we believe them to be true. Okay, so the way that we actually address a lie is to replace it with some truth. Okay, but we need to know what that truth is. So how do we do it? So we call out the lie. So we recognize it as a lie, and then we call it out and we replace it with truth. So the one that I've had to really work on is, I can't do this. That's one I use quite a lot. And so you know what I do? This is literally what I do. Okay, I can't do this. That's the thought that I have. And then I go, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nope, that's not true. So we call it out. You have to call it out. You recognize it as a lie. When you say, I can't do this, yes, you can. That's not true. I can do this through all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or what about if you're saying things like, oh, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not a good enough person. Or, you know, you're getting into that whole comparison thing. And so it's all very self-deprecating. And you know what you say? You call it out because it's a lie. You say, actually, that's not even true. That's not true. You know, I'm created in the image of God. Like, I'm a new creation. My identity is in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you made me unique. You know, we're countering that. We're calling out the lie and we're replacing it with truth. You know, what about when we say things like, oh, I can't change. I've always been like this. This is always going to be a struggle for me. You call it out and you say, actually, it's not true. It's because it's not. Because it's not true. You know, you say the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives in me, or I'm a new creation created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God prepared in advance for me to do. Or even simply, if you haven't memorized all that scripture, but as Alan said, that was really, really good. It is a good thing to do. Or just like, hey, no, that's not true. God loves me. God loves me and God wants to help me. Okay, we're just replacing the lie with the truth. So what about speaking life into circumstances and situations? And so often the lies that we tell ourselves when we find ourselves in difficult situations are things like, this situation will never change. This is hopeless. Or, you know, is God really good? Maybe God doesn't love me if he's allowed this to happen. Or, I don't know where God is in this. I just need to figure it out myself. You know, there's some of the lies that we tell ourselves when we find ourselves in these difficult situations. So what do you do about it? It's the same thing. You know, so you're thinking to yourself, oh, that situation can't change, or that's hopeless or whatever. Then you say, it's not true. That's not true. This situation can change. God, please give me wisdom and intervene in this situation. Counter the lie. Don't just let that lie become something that really creates a lot of destruction. You know, or what about, you know, God isn't good, or God doesn't love me if he's allowed that one to happen. That's a harder one to counter, but that's not true. Call it out. It's not true. Like, I know you love me, God, and I know in your word says that your ways are higher than my ways. And so I trust you. Help me to trust you even when I, you know, find that hard. Or the other one is, you know, God, where are you in this situation? I'm just going to have to figure this one out by myself. You know, you feel abandoned perhaps by God, but that's not true. Okay, we all know that our feelings lie, right? Our feelings aren't necessarily a good indicator of what is true, okay? But that's not true. So when we have those thoughts, we call it out. We say, hey, that's not true. God has promised to never leave me or forsake me. He's given me a source of all help and wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's given me the church. He's given me a church, his bride, his body, to be a source of help for me, both, you know, physically and spiritually. And speaking life into others. I think, you know, we probably all experience what it's like to have someone speak death over us, okay? To speak words that are not hopeful, that are not words of life, that can be destructive, okay? And we have to be very careful to who we allow into our lives and what we allow people to speak over us as well. And that's harder when it's your family. And so that's a difficult one. So that's, you know, probably setting some boundaries and things like that. But we do have to be very careful who we allow to speak into our lives, but also who we allow to speak into our children's lives. That's a really important one. And when Emma was really, really little and we were going through all of the doctors and all of the specialists, and we were having these appointments all the time. It was a really, really horrible, horrible time. It was very dark. It was awful. And I was finding that after each one of these appointments, that it would take me days to recover. Like I'd have to recover. It's like I had to recover from the trauma of this appointment. And the recovery was like emotionally, but the recovery was also spiritually. Like it took me like days, if not longer, to get back to that place of feeling, you know, full of hope and feeling like everything was going to be okay and God was good and all of that. And then it got to the point where I actually didn't want to go to any of these appointments anymore at all. Like they were just causing me so much anxiety. And so I thought about it and I realized that the issue was actually that those doctors were speaking death over Emma. Every time we went to those specialists, they said things like, she's never going to walk, she's never going to talk, you know, oh, her seizures will probably get worse, you know, her brain damage will get worse, you know. And then my favourite doctor said the worst thing, and he just said, look, I don't think she'll live beyond 8. You know, they were speaking death over her, and I just went, you know what, I'm done with this. You are speaking death over this child. We knew they couldn't do anything anyway, but you're speaking death over this child, and this is not okay. And so I said to them, I said, thanks for all your help, not really, but I'm not coming back to see you. And obviously we still go to the doctor if we need to, but We had to call it. And do you know what? After we stopped seeing all of those doctors and those specialists and listening to those words of death that were spoken over her, do you know that she actually improved? And people can say, oh, that's a coincidence. It was not a coincidence. I knew that it was because suddenly we were speaking life over Emma. You know, and those voices were the louder voices, and it was people from here that were speaking life over her. You know, our words have so much power, and we have to be so careful about the words that we say, but we also have to be very careful about the words we allow spoken over us, and particularly our children. You know, and that's why church and youth and Sunday school and all of that is so important, because we are a church that speaks life into our young people. Like, we want you guys to be here, and we want the young people to be here, because we want them to be surrounded by people who love them and are going to speak life into them. Because you guys, you know, particularly for you guys, you live in a world where there's just lies everywhere. There's lies, you know, the enemy is lying to you through social media and through the things that you're watching. It's just everywhere, you know, and we want you guys to be in a place where, you know, you're loved and that you can hear what God has for your life. You know, we want to speak life into you guys, and all of us want to speak life into you, because that's actually something that we're all called to do as a church. A church isn't just the people standing up the front. And the church is each one of us, and we're all called to actually speak words of life to each other. You know, we all have opportunities to do that. And, you know, we can speak into our young people. I can see that, you know, that's really important. But we can speak life into each other, you know, into the situations and into the circumstances that we find ourselves in. You know, I was thinking about Eleanor, and I was thinking about how Eleanor, like, sometimes after church, will just go and take Emma out to the playground, you know, and that obviously, you know, really warms my heart. But whenever Eleanor does that, I'm always just like, oh, thanks, Eleanor, that's great. And then I was thinking, I was going, that's not a word of life that I'm speaking over Eleanor. Like, I'm just kind of saying thank you. And that's what we say, you know, when someone's helped us out, we say thank you. But a word of life, which I haven't said to Eleanor yet, would be, thank you, Eleanor. Can you not see that, you know, what you are doing isn't just something that's helping me, but you're ministering to Emma. You know, you're ministering to our family. You know, that God has got a call on your life, and God is actually calling you, and that you're actually being a minister now. You know, you're being a minister now, and that's God using you. You know, that's what it means to speak words of life. And we can speak those words of life, you know, over our young people, but also to each other. You know, we are a church that preaches Jesus, but we also want to be a church that speaks Jesus. We want to speak Jesus, you know, over ourselves and into our circumstances and also into others. So we're going to listen to a song, and it's called Speak Jesus. And we're just going to play it up on the screen. Thanks, Jude. And I really just encourage you to take this time. I mean, we're here. Just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Look, I don't know what I said and if it makes any sense to you or whether God's speaking to you. I don't know, but God knows. And, you know, I think this is an opportunity just to, yeah, allow us just to be still for a moment. If you want to close your eyes and reflect on the words, do that. Or, just watch the words and just allow His Spirit to minister to you. And then I'll come back up and pray.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in
together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do just want to speak your name. You know, we know that your name is power, that your name is life, and that you are the source of all truth and all life. And we just thank you, Jesus. Lord, and we just thank you that as we seek you more and more through our relationship with you, that you just reveal more and more of your life and your truth to us. Help us to seek you first and to remember that although the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, that you came so that we might have life and have it to the full. Lord, help us to always look for truth about what is good and right, to look to you for truth, to know who we are and to know more about who you are. And help us, Lord, not to believe the lies and the deceptions and the distractions that ultimately just distance our hearts from you. Lord, and I just pray for each person who has been speaking death and hopelessness and defeat over themselves, over situations, over circumstances. And right now, we just want to call those things out as lies. And Lord, I pray that you just reveal to us what those lies are so that we can call them out and we can say, no, that's a lie. That is not true. And we can replace it with the truth of your word and who you say that we are, Lord Jesus. Lord, we recognize those lies, we stand against them, and we choose to instead speak words of life over ourselves and over others. Lord, help us to choose life. Lord, we thank you that in your word it says that you have set before us life and death, blessings and curses, but that we have the power to choose life and live. And so today, Lord, we choose life. We choose you, and we choose to speak words of life. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, that you loved us enough to sacrifice yourself so that we can have life in you. We just thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We want to praise you, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray also just for your church, which is each one of us here. We are the church. We are the body. I thank you that this is a place where the words of life are spoken each week and in the other places where we're gathering. And Lord, I just thank you that we are a church that speaks life. And Lord, I just pray that you increase that, Lord, that we can just get better and better at really speaking those words of life, just speaking words of hope and truth and love into one another. And Lord, that we will not be afraid to speak life, Lord, that we will not be afraid to call out the lies that we see in each other and to actually share your truth, Lord. So I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that we find all that we need in you, that all of this is not really that complicated. We just need you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. We love you, and we just come back to you and declare our love for you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to accept your truth, the truth of who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Minister to our hearts as we go this week, Lord, and help us to be mindful, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, just to recognize when those lies are creeping in, to maybe the things that we tell ourselves. Lord, speak to us during the week. Lord, let this not just be a message that we forget, but Lord, something that you just continue to minister to us through the week, because we know that your Holy Spirit is living and active, and we thank you that you want to continue working in each one of our lives. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So I think that is my encouragement, actually, is that, you know, let's not forget this one. You know, this one, I really, really felt this one. I hope that was obvious. but I really, really felt that one because it's been a very powerful lesson for me. You know, I think when we have trouble with our words, and it's something that we wrestle with, you know, we become very aware of how important it is to really come back to Jesus as the source of truth and the source of life in the way that we talk to ourselves and the way that we talk to others. So, yeah, I encourage you to reflect on that this week, and I might even email out scriptures because I didn't do a PowerPoint for us just to reflect on. But, yeah, encourage someone even today, speak words of life, and, yeah, we'll see everyone next time.